let you lead the way. Thank you, Father, that you're a faithful God, a loving God, a righteous God, a just God. Lord, we can trust you with our lives. And I say, Father, this afternoon, by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, just let me flow with you, follow you. And Lord, let our hearts be prepared for the word, that we take something today that will remain with us and bring forth a harvest. In Jesus' name. Today's message has been a few weeks of certain experiences that we've all been through, and God just adding things to it, and saying additional things, things that jumped out at me and that have really blessed me. And I just felt that God wanted me to share some of that today. So get on board with me. Give me a few encouragements and let us walk together, flow with the Spirit of God. Amen. I think I can confidently say, not just for Andrew and I, but for many of us, these past few months have been a roller coaster. We've had a few sideways swipes and a few shocks, and then when we think we're on the smooth path, then suddenly the nest has got stirred again, and some different things have happened, and change has been taking place. And God has been saying to me, it's time, Grace, to embrace change. Because change never comes, but what it has a purpose, if you will embrace it. So I call today embracing change. Not too many of us, I'm a bit of a creature of habit, I've got to admit. We all are all along. We like to be in our comfort zone, don't we, where we feel quite safe and secure. Andrew and I are two opposites. He does like his comfort zone, but he also likes to be out there seeing new territories and going for new stuff. And I think Steve's a bit like that. They like to get out there and see what's out there and what they can take a hold of. And they like challenges, and I tend to be somewhat different. I'm quite content to stay at home, take Charlie a walk. Well, that can be a challenge in itself. But you know, nationally, major changes have taken place, haven't they? As a nation, we've been buffeted about and are still being buffeted about. But I want you to know that the politicians are not in charge. God's in charge. He's my anchor. And I know that he's got it all in control. May not look so on the surface, but here, God's working everything together for good, and we trust him all the way. Sometimes change is exciting. You know, you get a new baby, new dog, a new car, a new house, a new job, and for some of you, new clothes. It's all so exciting. And we like to do that sort of stuff, don't we? We welcome those changes. They're good changes. But you know, sometimes change is uncomfortable at its best. And in more extreme cases, it can be very painful. Andrew was chatting to someone last night who has been through a very painful experience. But you know, what blessed me all the way through the journey, every time he was sat in a waiting room in the hospital, he said, God, I want to witness for you today. Bring somebody across my path. I want to lead him to Jesus. He didn't waste a minute of the time of waiting. He embraced this change, and he has all the way through. And his experience has been quite challenging. So in whatever guise change comes, the most important thing is, the most vital thing is, that we have a strong foundation underneath our feet. And as we've said, the nation's all in a flux, but we're not in a flux, because we have a strong foundation. No one's in charge. The politicians haven't a clue, but God knows he's in charge, and we know he's in charge. The wise foundation is mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew 7, message puts it in plain English. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build your life upon. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. The rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed as a rock. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. What a fool, Louise, eh? And when the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. We'll stop there. The foundation has to be on the rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. There's no other foundation. We have to be strong in him. And what we learn here, it's not got to go in one ear and out the other ear. You know, like my friend who had earrings in and out. One said in, one said out. And you know, that's sometimes what we like, isn't it? Because we're missing it. It goes out the other way. And we never give it another thought. And we go back to our old habits and our old way of living and our old thinking, which Andrew often calls stinking thinking. The world's way is not a good way to think. We've got to think God's ways. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, God is preparing his people for entering the new land. Well, it's in chapter 6 and chapter 7. God is preparing his people before entering a new land. And in chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, in the message, it says this: attention! God, our God, God, the one and only. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's within you. Love him with all that you've got. I think that says how we want. I'd like to think that is how I love him. And I believe it is, because everything that's mine, he gave me, so it's all his. He deserves everything. He can have everything. Whatever he asks for, God, it's yours. And as I was reading this yesterday, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 10. I've got to read it from the message, because I just picked this up at random, but it hit me straight between the eyes. We tend to think that God chose us because we were special. Well, we are special. But this really puts it where the rubber hits the road, so don't be surprised. It says, you were set apart as holy to God. When he called you, he set you apart to become holy. Well, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom and be holy. Mix doesn't happen. It can't work. God, your God, chose you out of all the people on the earth for himself as a cherished personal treasure. You are God's chosen, cherished, personal treasure. God was not attracted to you, and he didn't choose you because you were big and almost nothing to you. He did it out of sheer love. God stepped in and mightily brought you back out of that world of slavery. He freed you from its iron grip. Know this, God, your God, is indeed a God you can depend upon. He keeps his covenant of loyal love with those who love him and observe his word. You know, you can run away from God, but it won't run. You may as well ditch that idea straight away. When God is taking you through a change that you don't want to go through, just submit, just do it. Because if you run away, it's a lot harder. He'll never take his love from you. He'll chase you down. He'll pursue you until you come to the end of yourself and decide, all right, God, you know better. John 15 talks about abiding in the vine. We all need to draw spiritual life from it so that we'll be strong and fruitful. And this is somewhat that Kerry was talking about. The folk, I can never say this word, photosynthesis. You know, we absorb the sun and we give out life. It brings life and we give life. That's the simple analogy of it all. You absorb the word, and the word will give you life, and the life of God will live out of you. Simple. Simple. Just do it. Andrew wrote on Messenger this week, and if you're not on Messenger, it's really good. It's encouraging. There's some good stuff on there. And I encourage all of you to put something on there. If you've been blessed, then go for it and bless somebody else with that passage or whatever happened. But Andrew put on John 16 and verse 33. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And he said, when we give our lives to Jesus, seems like the devil paints a target on your back and sets out to destroy you. Bullseye, there's one on your back. Don't turn your back on the devil and run away. He'll shoot you. Face him with the word of God and send him out of the frame. Amen. And on Saturday, again, it was Andrew that put on Messenger, Matthew 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not everyone likes what you like or thinks exactly as you think. But let us remember, the center of all life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our centre. He's our anchor. So we've had it a few times in the past few weeks. Jesus is the anchor. He has to be at the centre if we want a successful life. So for us to successfully embrace change and ride the waves, it's essential that we have a strong foundation. And I thank God that I know where my anchor. In Christ Jesus. When everything else falls apart, I just go to the Word of God. And not that everything had fallen apart the other day, but it was just when that little passage in Deuteronomy, when God said to me, there was nothing in, you know, there was nothing that was special about you. You didn't do anything to earn this. I didn't choose you because you were the best. Quite the opposite. I chose you to make you the best. I chose you to be free from slavery. I chose you to make you a beautiful diamond that shines for me. And that's my desire. Is it yours? You know, God wants that. Let's be beautiful for God. We need to learn this now, that change is essential to growth. We were all still babies, sucking dummies and sucking our thumbs and on the bottle, there was something seriously wrong. But you know, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. As we have to grow in the natural, so we must expect an It must happen, and it will come. And often God has to change, bring a lot of change about before we can get us to shift. But we must embrace it. This week in Word for Today, there's a quotation from an American author, Henry Van Dyke. He says this: as long as habit and routine dictate the pattern of living, new dimensions of the soul will not emerge. You grasp that? As long as habit and routine dictate the pattern of living, new dimensions of the soul will not emerge. That's why there needs to be a sense of adventure in all of us. A get up and go and saying, well, I'm nervous, but I'm not going on my own. I know who's going with me. I know who's leading me on this path. And I'm prepared to risk it because I know that I'm not really risking it. If God's got a hold of me, he's my anchor, then I can do it. He says to do it, then I'll do it. I'll be obedient to God. He goes on to say that change requires a few things. New behaviours. No good doing the things we've always done. Behaving in the way that we used to. You know, when somebody ticks you off, it's a bit pointless just retaliating. That gets you nowhere. You know, a soft answer turns away wrath, Proverbs. If you want some wise advice, go through the book of Proverbs. You'll be astounded, especially in the message. You'll be astounded at the simplicity of God and how he deals with adversity and bad attitudes and wrong attitudes. And he knows exactly what we need. And I was surprised also to read in Word today that George Muller, who was a well-known man for setting up orphanages in Bristol, and he said this, he said that, I used to have a routine every morning. I always got dressed and then I prayed. I pray in provision for the orphanage. Sometimes they had nothing on the table and they would pray in the food. And they would pray for their daily needs, pray for the children in all aspects. That was his most important thing, the first thing. He said, but I've now come to realise that to soak myself in the word is more important. Because he said, when I go into the presence of those children, I'm full of God's wisdom. And I've got something to give those children. Something of the Spirit of God that has spoken to me today that I can share with those children. I need to read the word first. And now I do, I read the word first. Then I meditate on that word, and then I go into prayer, he said, and then I'm ready to meet the day. And he was prepared to switch round his natural behaviour from something he'd done for years. So it's never we're never too old to change, and God will challenge us no matter what our age, because he wants the best for us. We need new thoughts, says this Henry Van Dyke. He said, we also need new behaviours, we need new thoughts. God says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So if you want to improve your thought life, where do you go? You go to the Word of God, because the Word will change your thinking, and you'll no longer think the way that you used to. It's really essential that we think higher thoughts, God's thoughts, and it will bring in as an attitude of the fruit of the Spirit. It will bring in patience, meekness, gentleness, love. It will bring all these things without stress and without issue. And as I said, Proverbs will fill your spirit, fill your heart and your mind with godly wisdom, and you will know how to answer, and you will know the wisdom of thinking God's thoughts. New relationships are required. It's no good hanging around with the crowd. can't tell you how many times I hear this. Well, I really, really like this chap. And I went out with him and I got into a relationship with him because I thought. But was he a Christian? No. Well, that's where the foundation, where you got it wrong, you know? And somebody said to me this week, well, I can't come to church like I used to because my girlfriend hates God and anything to do with God, so I can't come to church. I think, do I bite my tongue or do I say something? And I thought, say nothing. I didn't say anything. Maybe I should. I don't know, but I wanted to. But I just didn't get that much from God. This has become such a strong habit in this person, from one to another. Maybe this one's got the answer, maybe that one's got the answer, maybe the other one. No, if they don't know God and love God, they've got no answers for you. They're not going to help you, they're going to hinder you, they're going to drag you back. And so we need to watch what relationships we have. Did I say 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Just watch your relationships. And the fourth thing he said, we need a willingness to do battle with the old ways of thinking. And that calls for a strong relationship with God. Strengthen your relationship. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Yeah. I've put here that it's a willingness to change to our own ways of thinking so that we have a greater desire for God. And as we've heard so many times, desire is seven times stronger than the will. So that's going to tell you a lot. You desire to do something, you'll do it. And it will not be a problem. You'll want to do it. You'll succeed in doing it. And you know, God had a great desire for us. And the Word of God says we love Him because He first loved us. We responded to that love. Everybody responds to love. That dog responds to love. He's drawn by love. All creation responds to love. So we get back to Deuteronomy 7. God wasn't attracted to you, and He didn't choose you because you were big and important. The fact is, there was almost nothing to you. He did it out of sheer love. God, you love me that much. You really need to think about that. It changed my day. Just love, nothing else. Paul, a man who was constantly experiencing change. Goodness me, if you had a roller coaster life like he had, there was many. His life was full of changes. And he said this in Romans 12, verse 2, and it's in the NLT. Don't copy the behaviour and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So no matter what comes, life continues, and we have to keep moving forward. Don't ever look back. Or don't ever think of going back. There's no life, there's only death going back. Life is ahead of you. A future is ahead of you. If we don't, we will imprison ourselves and we'll ultimately be destroyed. To look back is the devil's weapon. He wants you to keep looking back at the past. The past holds nothing. All you need to do is learn from it and move on, but don't keep going back to it. Because it will will destroy you. And I was thinking when I was preparing this Charles Dickens novel, I love Dickens, there's so many lessons to be learned in his plays. And he wrote the novel Great Expectations, and if you remember, there was the eccentric Miss Havisham. She was jilted at the altar, and for the rest of her life she remained in her wedding dress, living solely in the banqueting room, where the wedding breakfast was laid out on the banqueting table, now covered in thick cobwebs. Well, 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 what a sorry lady. What a sorry lady. Terrible. She refused to move on from that moment, and it was the death of her, because the whole house caught fire and she was burned because of all the flowing guards, and she couldn't get out, she couldn't escape. So, you know, there's a good lesson to be learned there. I don't want to be destroyed, I want to go forward, and I want to move forward with God. But sometimes before God can take us to the next level, he has to stir the nest, and often this involves painful separation. Abraham experienced that. If you remember, after the death of Abraham's father, God called Abraham and he said to him, leave your kindred and his country and go to a land that I will show him. Well, Abraham didn't fully obey. He took Lot with him, his offspring, well, not his offspring, his kindred. Both Abraham and Lot had become extremely wealthy, and the land had become too small to support them both. And the result was strife and division between the households. And Abraham reflected back on what God had said, leave your kingdom. Don't take Lot. He took him and he realized his mistake, and finally he and Lot had to separate. And you'll read that account in Genesis 13, verses 8 to 18. As we know, Lot, Abraham gave Lot the choice. He said, you can go whichever way you want to go. And Lot chose the fruitful, plush, lush, green landscape. And he went down to Sodom. And that was the death of, well, it wasn't the death of them, God rescued him. You know, Abraham didn't desert him, even though he left him a lousy deal. But, you know, you can never be left a lousy deal, because the wilderness that Abraham was left with, God said this to him. He said, because of your obedience, I'll give you an extremely, exceedingly great reward. He said, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. He blessed him beyond his wildest dreams, because he didn't choose what seemed to be the best way to go. We can look at situations, can't we, in the natural, and think, oh, that's definitely the way to go. That's definitely the job I want, because it's got a great future, I've got to get great money, great hours. Ah, oh, the world's my oyster if I take that job. But if not, I'm left with scrubbing the floors here. That's not very appealing to me. You know, God can do great things as long as you're obedient. Doesn't matter what you're left with. If you're left with the scraps, God will give you a banquet from those scraps. He really releases an amazing God. He turns curses into blessings, and it's beyond our wildest dreams. So don't make decisions on what you see or what you feel. Make your decisions by listening. He says, do it, do it. Be obedient and you will be exceedingly, abundantly blessed, no matter how impossible that seems. We have a God of the impossible, and I'm so glad we do. That exceeds. sight tonight. You know, our decisions are really important. Not only do they affect us, but more importantly, the destiny of those God entrusts to us. Other people are looking at you. Your family are looking at you. They may not seem like they're interested, but they need to hear. They need to sense the Spirit of God with you. They need to listen to the wisdom of God as it comes out of your mouth. You know, I know I said it before, this is not a boast, but my neighbour came to me a few weeks ago and she said, Grace, I love to talk to you because I get something that inspires me. She said, it draws me to God. I love to hear what you've got to say. That's not me. But because the Word of God is in me, then God has prepared the land and he said, I'll take you this way, that way, meet this one, that one. And you'll have a word in season for these people. You'll be a blessing to these people. And I really believe that that's what God wants to happen to us. God calls us to know him and to know him involves change. Painful or otherwise, we've got to go through the process because it's for our benefit. It's for our good. We need to read the word, meditate the word daily. We need to be in fellowship together as often as we possibly can. I love to be in God's house. I'll make every way possible so that I can be here and learn. And we have a great facility and it's great that we're relaxed and we can ask questions. And when Bible study starts up again in maybe 2 or 3 weeks' time, you know, let's go for it again, because I learned so much some of those subjects we've done before, but we did it again and I got new stuff out of it. You can never exhaust the Word of God, and we need to study the Word and learn together. And I would say that, you know, what I've been talking about today is not optional. It really is essential to all of us to embrace change and to be prepared to change. Respond to what God wants to do, because that will take us to greater things. And I want the greater things. How many people are prepared to change for the greater good? I certainly am prepared to change for the greater good. So if you find me doing things that I've always done, just give me a jerk. And sometimes we don't notice these habits, do we? Praise the Lord.